I was given a message this morning by an individual that we know hears from the Lord, and once again, this is kind of orchestrating some things I believe that the Lord would have you to really pay attention to today. This word comes from Hebrews 11 and 12, and I'm just going to read it to you as it was proposed to me. He said, I prophetically feel that there, and by the way, if you're here today and you don't understand what we're talking about when we talk about prophetic things, we've been talking about these on Wednesday night. Prophetic things are something we're to desire earnestly. We're to partake of what God is saying and share it with someone else. When we talk about prophetic things, we're talking about saying what God is saying. And so this individual, we've seen this in his life before. He says, I prophetically feel that there is grace available today to step into clarity regarding where life is heading. Somebody's struggling with that, maybe several. Some people feel like they're struggling in their faith because they don't feel like they know where they're going. Yet Romans 6 reminds us that we've been placed in a new land, a land that is will-let by the Lord specifically for the purpose of knowing where we are heading. God wants to show you where you're headed. If you're flagging in your faith, take time and rehearse aloud the things that God has done in your life, the times he's shown his true nature and kindness and goodness, etc. to you. Speak them aloud until your head connects with them. And let this be an act of faith, an act of firing adrenaline into your own spirit. God is absolutely, unequivocally, undoubtedly, unquestionably willing to show you where you're going in this life. Once you find out where you're headed, you should strip down, not literally, hopefully, but strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins, just running hard after the one who loved you and set your purpose in this life into the writing of your heart. He had mentions three words here, adrenaline. Those flagging in their faith, rehearse what God has been doing in your life and what he has done in your life. Use your history in God to give yourself a shot of adrenaline. Proclaim aloud all that he's done for you as a reminder that will infuse your spirit with faith and fire. Amen and amen. Acceleration, step into faith. Put action to your faith. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, again, no parasitic sins, an exhilaration. Romans 6, we've been placed in a new land of grace, a land so well lit that we can know where we're going, find out where you're headed, and make your focus to run hard after it. Well, that's good. That's so good. Sometimes I know how life is, and you get beaten down by circumstances and just fatigue and same old, same old. I think one of the biggest enemies to walking with God is the sense of just same old routine. I'm telling you, God will just blow up your routine from time to time. Because we get comfortable with routine. It's automatic. We just kind of go with it, and we just take for granted everything going on around us. But you know what? There's a destiny in God, and there are some elements to destiny in God that don't happen through routine. We may be nourished by routine. There's rest in routine. I get that. But ever so often, God wants to tweak you. Ever so often, he wants to pump some adrenaline into your system. I think of the guys that use nitrous in their race cars. Boy, you throw the nitrous to it, that car gets a brand new life. And God wants to give you a brand new life from time to time. We walk by faith and not by sight. See, routine's all about sight. But there's this place in God where he wants to call you out from just being automatic and doing what everybody else is doing. And, it's scary for some. But to me, after having lived the life I've lived, I'm telling you, it is so exciting. I get excited whenever God is bringing change. And he's a change maker. And he wants you and I to walk with him in something authentic. I was talking with a gentleman who was counseling a pastor that was going through literal hell on earth. because of some traitorous things that were going on within his staff and so forth. And I said to him, you know, this is one thing I know from experience, is when all of it's breaking loose around you and you can't understand it and you wonder where you are in the midst of this whole thing, you have to look back and know that God called you to be where you are. And when you know that, you don't worry about who's against you, because you know exactly who is for you. And you know what turf you can stand on by faith. And this is something that a lot of folks don't know. They're just hoping things work out. They don't have a sense of destiny. They don't have a sense of God's direction. And I'm here to tell you that God has not gone mute in his old age. He's still speaking today. He's still orienting us in the direction that he wants us to go. And that's kind of a long introduction to where I want to be today. But I mentioned it last week. I ripped it off, really, this title for this message from the wall in the kids' wing. Loved by God, made for adventure. God's not wanting you just to ease into eternity. He's wanting you for you to have some adventures along the way and some experiences with him that are so authentic that you become alive. And you have a testimony. You have a story, because there's power in this stuff. And I'm going to skip to, some more fun stuff than what I talked about last week. But bottom line is, I'm concerned for many of us that we have become practical agnostics as Christians. And what I mean by that is a posture in our walk with God where you can't tell by looking at us that we ever have to depend on him for anything. An agnostic isn't quite sure God exists, and if he is, believes that he probably won't interact with them on any practical level. And so many of us, as believers, we get saved and maybe even filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we just go about living our life and make all of our decisions and do all those kind of things that God wants to help us with without even consulting him. We don't think from day to day that we've been bought with a price, and therefore my job today is to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which belong to him. And so what I'm getting at here is God is inviting us not to just get saved and say, God, come along with me in my life. Be my co-pilot. He's not interested in being your co-pilot. He's driving. He's driving. And when we understand that, life gets interesting. And God invites us into places that we don't have the capability of fulfilling, because he wants to pour into us something that belongs to his divinity. The Holy Spirit is not just goosebumps. It's not just feeling great in certain moments in the worship service. It's the third person of the Trinity come to live inside of us. And when he makes his home in us, he will begin to redecorate. He will begin to emphasize certain things that in our flesh we can't know. But we're being invited into a dual citizenship where, yes, I'm plugged into this world. I understand how life is. I understand what work is. I understand what living in this world is all about. But the good news is that I don't have to live it with only the power that comes from being a human. I get to walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it was his plan and his desire to inhabit us by his Holy Spirit, to begin to inspire us to understand his will in the earth, and to be participants in his will, and to be filled with the kind of power that raised Jesus right up out of the ground and set him on the throne. And then he says, I've seated you with me in heavenly places. I'm not there physically yet, nor are you. But you see, there's a realm. It's called the kingdom of God. He has no rival. He has no equal. He has no competition, except that which we allow. We say, well, there's a devil, Pastor. Yeah, the devil has to answer to God still. And the only power the devil has over me is deception and the fear that goes with that deception. The devil really is very concerned about the possibility that God's people would actually get a clue as to who they are. He's come down to us, the Bible says, having great wrath, knowing that he has just a short time. He knows where he's headed. I love this. I don't remember who said it, but next time the devil reminds you about your past, just remind him about his future. As I said last week, I want to shout this so everyone can hear. God's will for your life is not downgraded in the least based on anyone's critical analysis of your capabilities or worthiness. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is so powerful. I love this chapter. It's been one of my favorite go-to places when I'm feeling uninspired or when I'm feeling tired or just getting into the same old. I like to go here because it reminds me that I'm not limited to what this world can give me. And I want to spend some time there with you today and talk about several things. First of all, let's go to verses 6 through 9. I hit 1 through 5 last week. Verses 6 through 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 plainly state that there's a source of wisdom that believers are able to receive and that is being learned through and learned and incorporated into the culture of the church. The natural faculties of even the wisest of us cannot grasp what God reveals by his Spirit to a believer. You see, we literally have a whole body of information, authority, power, you name it. Everything that belongs to God is available to us through our relationship with Jesus and the indwelling Holy Spirit. Let me read it to you. It says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, which are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God foreordained or ordained for the ages, before the ages for our glory. The hidden wisdom there is, kind of plays into one of the misnomers that we have, that God's ways are above our ways and past finding out. In the natural, yes. I can't get enough degrees. I can't be intelligent enough to plumb the depths of God's wisdom. I can't find it out that way. But it is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. I'm not downplaying the need for education because you're functioning in a natural world, okay? So it's good to be as smart there as you can. But always be aware that the natural mind, according to Romans 8, is at war with God. What was happening here this morning, if you walked in here with a pure natural mind, you would tend to reject as foolishness. We're praying for healing for somebody who's on their deathbed. There's no coming back from that, you might say. But Jesus walked up to a tomb one day in which lay a friend of his wrapped up in grave clothes, dead for 4 days. Important because the Jews understood, they believed at least, that the spirit of a person departed the body on the end of the third day. So he was dead and gone. And Jesus waited until that moment. I walked up there. And he didn't cut himself. He didn't go crazy. He wept because he saw how people felt when they lost somebody. And he just said, Lazarus. Talked to him as if he was just across the table. Lazarus, come forth. There had never been words like that. Because a dead body began to breathe again. Whatever decay had happened was reversed. And I still wonder how he appeared at the mouth of the tomb. I don't know if he kind of, you know, was all bound up and had to jump to the mouth of the tomb. I don't know how that worked out, but all we know is this, that Jesus had to say, loose him and let him go. And I'm here to declare to you today that the voice of the Spirit of God still is heard in the land. You heard it this morning. But if you're a practical agnostic, you would say, well, yeah. But I know Jesus is saving my soul, but I'm not sure he does too much else. It's amazing that we would entrust our eternity, but we don't think the Lord has the power or the willingness or the ability to actually affect the now. If you bought into that, the devil's out there saying amen, amen, and amen. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is not hindered by your circumstances. He's not hindered by your native ability. He can do anything exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all we can ask. Why don't we ask bigger? Because we are practically agnostics in some ways. Exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think. He's not hindered by the laws of physics. He's not hindered by the law of the land in some cases. He's just not hindered by anything except what you and I are willing to say amen to. What I'd like to do today is expand our horizons a little bit. I believe that's what the Lord wants to do, and I'm going to do my best to help him in only the way I can. Verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared. This quote from an Old Testament passage is incomplete, but it shares literally the belief that so many religious people have. We don't really know, in other words, what God's up to. But verse 10 comes along and says this, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, which is understandable. But the point is this, that the natural mind is not able to go into the things of God that are freely available to us through his Spirit. This is why we have people, and we're all there to some degree or other, I believe. None of us are totally open to everything God is saying. That's why instruction is necessary. And I might add, sometimes that's why the trials of our life are necessary. Because our mind can't grasp what we're dealing with. And God draws us into a place where we have to go beyond the mind and beyond the norm in desperation. Does anybody here know what I'm saying? I don't pray for difficulty and desperation and issues beyond my capability to even conceive. But I've been invited into them several times. And what I have found in those moments when the lights go out and when my heart is shaking and I don't have any resources or know where you can get resources for some of this stuff, that I call on the name of the Lord and I find that he has an answer for it. It's amazing how he gets so close to you when you're in need. And folks, we live in the most prosperous, blessed nation on the planet. Travel if you don't believe me. I'm telling you. We got people that don't want to bow the knee to the nation, or they want to bow the knee in protest to the nation. Hey, I would just invite you, just take a hike. Find you a place you agree with. See how that works out for you. But there's something about gratitude, and there's something about awareness. There's something about appreciation that we've got to get a hold of. And I might add, kingdom-wise as well. Walking with Jesus is not boring. Walking with Jesus is not just an obligation that we have. Walking with Jesus is the greatest privilege that flesh and blood ever gets. Walking with somebody who chooses to be closer to you than a friend or a brother. In fact, he just wants to move in. That's amazing. That's amazing. And he doesn't just move in to kind of take up space. He's kind of hang out. He moves in to make you an embassy. He moves in so the kingdom business can flow through you, so the words of authority from his heart can be spread around. You're his sound system. You're his hands and his feet. And until we understand that we're not incommunicado, that somehow we're off on our own, we read a Bible and that therefore we're walking around in the world trying to figure out which verse fits. The Holy Spirit will quicken verses to you at a certain time, and it is the voice of God in that moment. It's called the Rhema. The Rhema of God. That Rhema has power, it has authority, and it initiates faith in the person that hears it. What a powerful thing. That at any moment, 24/7, a word from God can come into your spirit, and God releases to you faith that you can walk it out. I mean, folks, that is limitless. But you see, a lot of us, when God's trying to speak to us, we're assessing it. We're running it through the courtroom of our mind and saying, well, yeah, but, yeah. We've talked ourselves out of more miracles than we can possibly count. We've talked ourselves out of more invitations from God to walk with him in places where humans can't walk by themselves. I have been so blessed in my life. Because God has spoken to me on several occasions. Just simple little things, guys. I want to uproot you here and I want to put you there. Four different times in my life. At no time did I have the resources to do it. I moved across the country one time on a simple word from God with $50 to my name. And God opened an amazing door for me in a ministry that literally launched me into all kinds of different things. I mean, 25 years ago this Christmas, he invited me to come here for four families. Four families. I was on a staff of a church of 5,000, and God says, I want you to go there. And I tell you what, man, that was the hardest one yet because I had babies now. I had kids. I had a wife now. But I'll tell you something. When God says, do this, it is the greatest invitation that you'll ever have. What an honor for God to include you in a plan that he has ordained. And I'm not getting very far in my notes here, but I'm telling you, guys, catch what I'm saying to you. Verses 10 through 13 make it plain that the Holy Spirit is the only source that can enable us to know the things God is freely making available to mankind. He is the one that opens hearts and minds. Verse 14 reveals the incapacitated state of the first of three kinds of people. And I'll go with this, and we'll get some more later on this whole subject. But let's read it together. Verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. We're on a different frequency. I've made this illustration hundreds of times, but it still stands true. There are signals floating around in this atmosphere, in this room. There's television that's available. There's internet that's available. The world is open to us if you have the right receptor, the right frequency. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is not just a search engine, but he is available to help us deal with whatever comes up. He's better than Google for sure. The Holy Spirit. The natural man, though, does not have the ability to hear what God is saying, except for this. The Holy Spirit begins to make entrance to the heart of a person that doesn't know him, a natural person, totally natural, by convicting him first of sin. No man can come to God unless the Spirit of God draws him there. And so in order to be a Christian, you first of all have to realize, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not there on my own. You're never born into this through natural birth. You never arrive through intellectual pursuit. It's only as the Spirit of God opens your mind and your heart in the need for your soul that you can receive Jesus. But when you do, you don't just get a pass from hell. You're born again. And this new person now has the ability to understand, to comprehend, and to move in all of the assets of the kingdom of God. There isn't a junior membership and an intermediate membership and then a really cool guy's membership. There's one membership. It comes with all the accoutrements of the kingdom of God. And you and I then have to choose to walk it out, become educated in it, and so forth. And the natural mind, it's not getting you there. Things of God are foolishness to him, that natural man. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or recognized. Then there's a second kind of a man. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual, the spiritual man, judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. That scripture there is, it makes you seem like, you know, that you don't ever need instruction or correction or anything like that. That's not what it's really saying. But ultimately, there's a higher law that we answer to that a natural person cannot understand. They can't discern what it talks about. They can't get a grasp on it. And natural people are not able to judge spiritual people or born-again people in appropriate ways. We see it in the media all the time. And more persecution is coming to the church because the natural world is fighting against God's kingdom with much assistance from the enemy. So we just have to understand the Bible is making it very plain here that ultimately, on judgment day, what the world thinks about you is absolutely irrelevant. What they think about your faith, absolutely irrelevant. There's only one judge in the universe, and he's sitting on the throne of heaven, and he has given you and me salvation. And we want to see as many people have that as possible. I look at folks, what they're doing today. I mean, the craziness. I mean, good grief. The craziness that's going on out there. And rather than just becoming critical of people, let's understand something. The world is being herded toward destruction. It is. The tribulation mentioned in the Bible is the clearinghouse of all that stuff. But the bottom line is, we don't want to see anybody enter eternity without Jesus. And that's available to everybody. So please, when you see the craziness and the lunacy that's being spread abroad in the world today, don't just get a critical spirit, look down on that and speak down on it. It's crazy. We know it's crazy. But the bottom line is, God loves every single solitary one of those folks that are just doing what comes naturally. And we've been there. Have we not been there? Anybody here ever done stupid stuff? Let me just see your hands. Just testify right now. Yeah, and such were some of us. Just dumb. I mean, dumb. But Jesus somehow snagged us and brought us into his kingdom, and then starts equipping us to be ambassadors for him. Wow. How's that happen? Well, love is how that happens. The next person we want to talk about today is one that many of us are. We flow in and out of this situation often, and you know it's a sad thing. But verse 16, one of the places where we can go for help. Now let's read it together. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, the statement in the Passion Version goes like this: who has intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? Christ has. And we possess Christ's perceptions. This is a powerful statement here, and I want you to grab this. I know it's common. You've probably read it for many years if you've been a believer, but look at verse 16. We have the mind of Christ. Wow. That is a statement that's hard to get our puny minds around. But the statement is plain. We have the mind of Christ. So next time you're finding yourself in a quandary, not knowing what to do, feeling confused, all the things that might happen in the course of a lifetime that really puts you behind the eight ball for direction, just like the prophetic word this morning was. Remember this. It's not you need the mind of Christ. You hope you can find the mind of Christ. No, 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 no. It's original equipment with you. If you're born again, you have access to the mind of Christ. It's yours. It's yours. What can you possibly need to know that he doesn't know? What issue comes up that God says, oh, whoa, ooh, ooh, wow, ooh. Yo. There isn't such an issue. He created all this out of nothing. Nothing about it surprises him. Nothing causes him to back off except our lack of faith. He will not impose himself upon us. He's given us free will. I can choose to just sit in my confusion, or I can appeal to the mind of Christ. Well, Pastor, practically, how does that work? Two things. First of all, James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to men liberally, and in the King James, upbraids not, which is a fancy way of saying, never makes you feel ashamed for asking. So, first thing, ask the Lord for wisdom. Secondly, don't just ask and expect always for voices to come out of nowhere. Open this book. It's the rule of faith and practice. It speaks to so many things. If you're really confused about what to do, if you don't have any direction for reading, go to Proverbs and just read until something slaps you upside the head. Because something's going to slap you upside the head pretty quick. I mean, you read this every day, you're gonna save yourself a whole bunch of blunders that we're so gifted at finding. And don't just read it, actually do what it says. I mean, there's wisdom right there. And, you know, the fact of it is, in addition to that, we've been talking about this on Wednesday nights, and so I would say the culmination or the high point of what we've been dealing with in spiritual gifts, we're going to talk about this Wednesday night. So I would encourage you, if you have questions about hearing the voice of God or any of that, please be here Wednesday night because we're going to deal with that. But I'm telling you, God has a myriad of ways of communicating with us. He's not limited to anything. He can speak to you through circumstances. He can speak to you through multitude of counsel. He speaks to the scriptures, and the scriptures are always the backstop for everything we think we're hearing. But there are so many ways God can speak to us. The wisdom and the mind of Christ is powerfully ours. And I have 7 seconds, so I'm done. Why don't you stand? We'll talk about the rest of this next week.